right. Go to your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4. As my first point, I'm going to read from 1 verse 6. Bear with me, I'm super nervous. I had a feeling that David was going to call me up here. It says there, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they receive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah and the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and gave them for a prey in the land of captivity, and covered not their iniquity, and let not their sins blotted out from before thee, anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the walls was joined together unto them, half therefore for the people, and a mind to work. We need a mind to work. Thank God we have some people. You can see in verse 4 and 5, you see that they're praying. Thank God that we have some men and some women that have a mind to pray. If we didn't, if none of us had a mind to pray, this world would be going down so fastly, and we would have so many trials in our life. We need a mind to work. And a lot of Christians nowadays, they don't have a mind to serve God. And as we work today, you're not going to get something down without having a mind to do it. As Brother Mike Easter was preaching tonight that you need to get in your word, a lot of us don't have a mind to work. That's why we're going out of church. That's why a lot of us are not serving God like we're supposed to. As my second point, go to verse 7. I'm going to read down to 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorite and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem are made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together and came to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And go down to 16, and it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. So you can see in 16, they had not only their working tools, they had their weapons in their hands. When you're working on a Christian, a lot of people, the devil will attack you as hard as he can. You're going to need a sword in one hand, you're going to need a hammer tool in the other. If you don't have it, it's not going to be really successful unless you barely get away, but you're probably not. You're going to need a sword in your hand and your and the working tools in the other. Go to verse 22. It says, likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they might be a guard to us and labor on the day. We got to be on guard. Thank God that we have pastor here that's always on guard. Yeah. We're going to always need to be on guard. Amen. If not, the devil's going to sneak up right behind us, right, and he's going to take us right out of church. We think that we got saved, that God's going to protect us. Well, yes, he's going to protect us, but you're going to have to watch your back too. You got to have to stay on guard. All I got.
Amen. That was awesome. Good job, buddy. I remember the first time I ever preached, I was red and I couldn't even get words out. So, I mean, he did really good. Good job. All right, well, I got a friend who been coming to me almost every day with new stuff that God's been giving him out of his Bible reading, and has been getting a little bit of message together, so I told him I'd have him preach it tonight. So my friend Bryce is going to come up and give us something.
All right, if I can have Joe stand up and pray real quick.
Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. God, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for these young men that want to preach, God.
Alrighty. Sorry about the no tie, but he had a little step up on me. But I would like to start out reading in Mark chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And he, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he went in the mountains and in tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice, and said, What have I have to do to thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou... Torment me not, for he saith to him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, and he said, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion. I have pages in between my pages, sorry. For we are many. And he sought him but much, that he would not send him away of the country. Now were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, send us the swine. Now, I think I went a little too far, but I'll go back to the part I wanted to read. And it said, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I done to thee? Wrong verse. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. What I wanted to say is in the beginning of the part, it said that no one could contain him, no one could lock him up, no one could do anything to this man to keep him tamed. The devil had a lock on him that nobody could ever break. And when they tried chaining him up and containing him because he was a wild man, no one could contain him. But the crazy thing is the Lord was walking by, and he came running out. Someone who was completely filled with the devil, and the devil had his hands on him so tight, the devil still wasn't strong enough to keep him to go into the Lord, to go into somewhere where he knew that had the light. Someone who he could prey upon and could clean him of his spirits. Did that go to Matthew 26? Matthew 26, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointments, and poured it unto his head. And he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for as much and given to the poor. I like to say is how the guy that was, I can't remember his name, lost it. But the guy that was contained by the devil and the Lord took the spirits from him, he fell onto his knees and was asking for repentance. When he asked for repentance, right here, this symbol here to me means where she was going up and giving her ointment, was saying, here, I'm giving you the most precious thing in my life, and to us, the most precious thing that we could give to the Lord is ourselves. So what I seen there was, as she was giving the most precious thing she had, the devil, even the disciples were saying, why are you giving that to the Lord? You could sell it for so much more in the world. You can do so much more with that out here. Why are you going to give it to him? I like to... We'll tell you that you can sell more to the Lord. They'll try and tell you also that giving it to the Lord ain't going to do much, that there's no purpose in it. But in the Lord's eyes, it's more precious to him than anything could ever be. For you to give yourself unto him versus giving it to the devil. Because the devil, all he's going to want you to do is just take a little bit more of your time away from you. From the Lord. Try and do as much as you can for him. And then my next point is 1 Samuel 17. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with these Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servants kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And his uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of thy Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armored David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and is armed with his a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assailed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved thee. And David put them off of him. What I see here is as you're going to try and fight for the Lord and the devil and the world is going to tell you that you can do so much for him, not only they're going to do that, but they're also going to try and put what they have on you. They're going to try and do is they're going to say, that's actually not good enough either. Why don't you try doing this? Why don't you put some of this on? Why don't you take off what you have and let us put what we think is better for you? Instead of trusting in the Lord, what David did, and so that way I don't have to read it so much, he went out there after, Saul said, sure, go ahead and go out there. At first he wasn't even sure that he could do it. Because of him being of such a small man, a young man and not an actual full-grown adult. But he actually went out there with the fear of God and went out there and grabbed the three stones and went out there and defeated him. And it was nothing but of God. Also have 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit of God liveth. The one thing that will actually help keep you alive and help you to keep fighting is the Lord and the Spirit of God. And the only way you can get that is if you actually surrender to Him, like the way the guy was when he that was consumed of the devil, and he came down and went to his knees and surrendered to the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians 2. 2:3. It says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power and of power of God." It's not of us, but of Him. And if you go to fight the fight, as people are going to start putting, the world is going to start putting things onto your shoulders, trying to put things on you, trying to say that the things of this world is better for you than what the God has to offer. All you got to do is remember that the Lord is with you in much trembling and fear. You have nothing to fear of this world. I think it says in John, I can't remember where at, but it says that it's not you that they hateth, but me. What he was trying to say there is as you're out there living, they don't hate you. They hate what you're doing with your life and who you're living for. That's all I got.
Amen. I don't know about you guys. God's already showed up tonight or this afternoon. I heard two pretty good messages, two great messages. I don't know about you guys. God gave me a message from about Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm definitely going to be preaching that one. I'm going to steal it. Steal it right from him. That was good. Let me get that mic. Pastor does this all the time. I figure I'll give it a shot. Is there anybody who it is on your heart, the Lord has done something for you this week, and you just got to let it out? God is telling you right. And you got to jump on it quick, because I'll pull the rug right from under you. So, if there's anybody who's gotten something, if the Lord's shown you something, Lord's done something for you this week, there's a Brother Ryan. All right, brother.